Welcome to Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids, a podcast that steps into alternative education, parenting, and living a funner, fuller family life. I'm Robin, home educator, unschooling mom to two funny, eclectic kids, and we're here to create a space for families to listen, connect, learn from others, and be inspired. Join us every 2 weeks to hear interviews and tips from experts in learning, education, and parenting, and stories from families that are playing full out in the arena of life and education. World schooling, unschooling, alternative schooling, homeschooling, or just creating a whole new style of learning. Today's episode, I spoke with Judy Arnell. Judy is Canada's leading expert on normal child development, non-punitive parenting, and education practices. She's a mother to five children, three of whom are now grown and two are in their teens. She has homeschooled all five of her children. She is a writer with three best-selling books, professional speaker, and parent educator. And it was such a great chat with Judy because she has so much knowledge, experience, and compassion. And I'm still learning from all the pieces of advice that she gave me in this conversation. In this episode, she talks about how her family got into home education, the lessons that they learned, the one thing that she would do differently, which was actually quite interesting, I found, screen time, which is always a parent favorite, and advice as a seasoned parent and home educator. So tune in and listen on. Hi, Judy. Good morning.
Good morning, Robin.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And thanks for joining us today on Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids.
Thanks for having me.
You know, in this podcast, one of the biggest things is I wanted to reach out to parents because I was a parent who actually wanted more information and I wasn't finding the information that I was searching for at the time as a homeschooler. But I definitely wanted to reach out to parents that have chosen to take a more active role in their children and children's and family life, especially in the area of education. And I found one thing that I found as a homeschooling parent myself and with so many parents, whether they were home educators or not, is that so many times we worry about the knowledge and education of our kids and what they're getting that we forget or overlook the personal education for us as parents and knowing ourselves, and because it's not necessarily formal education, but the life education that we need as parents, our values, knowing ourselves and what's important, our goals for ourselves, and even our goals that we communicate with our family and for our family, and getting a better understanding of these things in our personal life is such a huge foundation for educating our children. And I've seen that more as a homeschooling parent, that the better I get to know myself, the better the foundation for my kids is, and the feedback that they give me is so much more powerful as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to have you on the podcast because I know you have a wealth of information. I've learned already a lot from you. You have a wonderful blog and website, your webinars, you're a homeschooling parent yourself as well. And maybe if you could tell us some more, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more.
Okay, thanks. I always knew I wanted to homeschool my kids, but I was married to a partner who came from the British system. And when he saw the system in Canada, he thought, wow, this is really great. So he really wanted to put the kids in school. And we had English and French immersion schools within a block of our house. So it was really hard to convince him to try out homeschooling. So, and I am a parent educator by profession. So I teach adults, and adult education is very self-directed, very learner-centered. So when I encountered the school system, my two oldest boys, they went into school until the end of grade two. And I found it, the child system wasn't at all learner-centered. It was very top-down, hierarchical. And that was not my goal or values in education. So I looked at that, and we did school for grade one, grade two. And at the end of grade two, my oldest son, who had learning disabilities, I just couldn't send him back, and he wasn't happy. And my younger son, at the end of grade one, he would go to school and then come home at lunch and say, "That's it, I'm done." So we thought, okay, let's try homeschooling for a year. It's only for a year. Let's try it out, see how it works for our family. And I managed to convince my partner to give it a go. And that's what we did. We pulled the boys out. And as many homeschoolers know, the first year, you don't know what you're doing.
Right, yeah.
It's huge learning curve for anyone. You try things, you make mistakes. Sometimes the whole family's in tears. And you have to find your groove. You have to find who you are and your not only your parenting style and your teaching style, but your kids, what their learning style is. And that's all wrapped up in your values of education and your goals for your relationship. So we did that. And the second year was much better. We became much more relaxed. I had a toddler and babies underfoot during those years. So I always say we're homeschoolers and never really got around to homeschooling. And the less teaching I did at the table, the more playing the kids did. And it was amazing how much they learned through play and how much they loved learning. And it was very joyous to watch. So that's kind of how we started.
And through this process, how your husband, who maybe was, you know, not all in the very beginning, was he able to see the changes and transformation and the joy in learning as well? Or did it take him a little bit longer?
It took him about 10 years to come on board.
Oh, really?
And I didn't really find that out until one day I mentioned how great homeschooling was. And he said, "Well, you know, I've never really liked homeschooling." And I looked at him and said, "What?" And he's, in recent years, he's come much more on board, you know, as the kids have demonstrated their success. But I think he was a little skeptical through a lot, just because he didn't see anything that looked like school to him.
Right.
He didn't see kids at tables doing workbooks. So, and he also traveled during those years, which was one of the reasons we homeschooled too, because he would be away on rotation 24 days back 10, and we wanted to make sure the kids were home during those 10 days he was at home to develop that relationship. So he's definitely, he's a very much advocate now, but I'm really happy that he supported my goals and values and supported the kids during his skeptical time that he did become on board.
Right. It sounds as well that even though he may have been skeptical of homeschooling because he, you know, didn't really have maybe a lot of information on it or what it would look like or how things would turn out, but he definitely had a lot of trust in you, which is, I think, the biggest thing.
Yeah. And in the research, dads tend to look to moms on what they do, and moms are the ones that research everything. We read books, we go to talks, we go to classes, and dads kind of take their cue from us. That's pretty well a given in parenting or education.
Right. And do you find, you know, now through your years and experience and knowing many homeschooling families yourself, do you find that that's fairly common, that one parent is usually more on board and the other kind of, you know, later on down the line maybe jumps on? Or is it changing now? Or what do you think?
I think that is common because as moms, we tend to do the day-to-day, getting kids to school, packing lunches, overseeing, all that. And we see a lot of the problems, like, first off, a lot of dads help with homework, but a lot of moms spot learning disabilities. And if you're the day-to-day person involved in education, you tend to research what's out there more and what is available to that child and what could possibly be. Yeah.
what's important for them personally.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
And do you find that, I mean, because what kind of homeschooling, so it, by the way you describe it, and I know a little bit about your homeschooling background as well personally, but did you find, you know, you went more towards an unschooling kind of approach instead of a very sit down, let's do this, you know, timed, you know, kind of, you know, replicating the school model. You just went more to a very open learning approach. Could you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Sure. And that's because of my career as a certified family life educator. We teach parents how to be non-punitive and respectful parenting practices. So when I brought my kids home to homeschool, they were ages 7 and 8. And their brain development is in a stage where they maybe listen about 60% of the time. 40% of the time they're not listening or doing what I tell them to do, which is very, very normal for that age. That's what they're supposed to do. But it makes for a harder homeschool experience when you put the teacher hat on and you want them to sit at the table and do those multiplication exercises, and they're not going to do them. So that approach, I'm not an authoritarian parent. I'm a very collaborative parent. I teach collaborative parenting. So I couldn't really use rewards and punishments like a teacher would in school. Now, there are authoritarian parents out there who homeschool and do use rewards and punishments, but that wasn't a good fit for our family. I wanted to focus on building relationships, because when you look at it, the information is out there. There is so much information on the internet. When I first started homeschooling, the internet was just coming on board. So it was a really different atmosphere. Where today, the main factor in homeschooling is the parenting relationship, that one adult support. So whether you stuff an image in the kids' heads, it doesn't matter, but building that relationship and the family bonds in parenting or education is most important. So I found that being authoritarian didn't work. I wasn't going to force my kids to learn fractions or long division. I wasn't going to damage our relationship over it. And it came. They came to a point later, much later, where they were ready to learn long division, and our relationship was built. But in the early days, I just let it slide. So we started, you know, very structured homeschooling, and then we slid into unschooling. And like I said, I kept very good records. I asked my kids to do the provincial achievement tests just to see where they were at in relation to their peers. And they did fine. They scored in the average level or above average in some specialties. And then when they reached grade 10, grade 11, I said, do you want a diploma? Do you want to work towards this? Because it's your choice. And that's what unschooling is about. It's about what the child wants for their educational goals. And they all decided, yes, they want a diploma. And at that age, around age 15, they were ready to settle down and work for it, because they hadn't had 10 years of schooling structure already. They were ready for the structure. Right. Their brain development was ready. So that's when we did a more... we still did high school, but more, it was all parent-directed, so it was the way we wanted to do it within the guidelines of the Alberta Education School Act. But it was much more customized and personalized to them. So they really enjoyed high school, and their adjustment to university was pretty good, actually. They had been owners of their education for so many years that just sliding into university was very easy. socially and academically. In fact, they said their university years were a lot easier because high school was so many assignments, where university was very chunked assignments. It was much easier for them.
Right, right. And it's interesting as well, because I know a lot of parents who are maybe looking into home education, or just, you know, or who know others, you know, that is a big question, especially with unschooling, is, well, you know, there's a belief, I think, that children just kind of go wild and hang upside down all day long and don't do anything. And then they become adults and, you know, then what are they going to do because they don't know anything, kind of thing. And, you know, it's an interesting example too for your family that here's unschoolers who, so, you know, they have chosen an approach where it's, you know, they've gone on to university, they did high school, they received their high school diplomas, and then they've gone on to university into careers that they've obviously, I'm thinking usually with unschoolers, because you have that choice and you have that self-determination in your education that you're doing what you really want to do, not necessarily what someone is expecting of you. So it makes a big difference. Continue. Yeah.
It really does. They chose, when they're allowed to play for so many years, you can see where their passions start to reveal themselves. So, for example, my daughter, she was an early reader. She read at 4, and she's always loved reading and writing. So it was just natural for her to move into a career in English. And for my son, he loved video gaming. He loved Lego. He loved anything logic with numbers. He loved computers, loved them. And 3 of my children were heading toward a career in STEM. And that's really unusual in that a lot of unschoolers tend to be more bent to the arts or the humanities or entrepreneurship.
Right.
But, so as I saw my kids were heading toward a STEM career, we thought, okay, maybe we should start a little more structured math program. So in grade 8, I said, okay, do you want to take a math course online and see, you know, if that's something you'd like to do? And they said, yep, okay, sure, let's give it a go. And it was only committed for 1 year. If they didn't want to do it in grade 9, which they didn't, we dropped it. So for a STEM career, they both, all 3 of them, 4 of them, started about grade 8, grade 9 in math. So, but I think for homeschoolers who are not comfortable with unschooling, and it takes a really big brain shift to wrap your head around play as educational, you know, just understanding that even if you do traditional bookwork homeschooling, it only takes about a half an hour a day when your grades, elementary grades, and maybe an hour a day when they're junior high, and maybe 2 to 3 hours a day when they're high school. And if parents knew it just took that long, I think more parents would homeschool, because that's what they're doing in homework, let alone the 6 hours a day they're sending their kids to school.
Right, if not more.
Yes, it takes so little time to cover the Alberta Program of Studies, so little time.
Which is really, it's really remarkable when you really saying that out loud. And knowing the small amount of time and the actual amount of hours that kids spend in school, traveling to and from school as well, that you can do, you know, such a small amount of the, you know, that academic or book kind of work. And then you have the whole entire day that's open and, you know, open to learning still, to whatever, you know, whether, you know, learning through play, whatever the kids want to guide themselves in.
Field trips, taking on projects, or, you know, as they get older, they might want to do some jobs and volunteering, and they have time for their passions, and a child in school just waits so much. And I seen it. I used to volunteer in my son's grade 1 and 2 classrooms, and when you're dealing with 30 kids, there's so much waiting time that is not necessary at home.
Right. Right. You also have, a common question, which sometimes I'm still surprised that people ask, but they still do, is the whole thing that, school, a lot of school is really meant for the socialization process. That, yes, mm-hmm. okay, there's a lot of wait time and downtime and things like that and, maybe unneeded time, but really it's for kids to learn how to get along with other kids and how to deal with the way society's going to be. That's what school is really preparing them for. What do you think about that?
Yes, that is such a common concern of people asking, what about socialization? And I think the question they're really asking is, where does my child find friends?
Right.
and that's a good question. But the Fraser Report mentioned that the average homeschool child is involved in 8 activities at the same time. So that's a lot of opportunities to find friends. And
eight activities outside of the home, or 8 activities like an online class plus a soccer and gymnastics and music kind of thing? Or
they didn't specify, but it was 8 activities, not including online classes.
Okay.
So it'd be things like soccer, music lessons, girl guides, things like that.
Right, okay.
Church groups. Yeah, so that's a lot of opportunities for socialization, and I think that's even better because you're not with the same kids. They have 8 opportunities for different peer groups, where in school they are stuck with the same class for a year. Mm-hmm. And when children are out in those 8 activities, they're exposed to different worldviews, different cultures, different religions, different genders, different age groups, multi-age groups. And in homeschooling, there's a lot of adults around that teach socialization. So in school, I remember being the playground supervisor volunteer, and lots of social interaction was going on among the kids, but not much adult intervention when things were going bad.
Right.
Whereas in homeschooling, the ratio is much smaller. You have a lot more adult parents around because we like to hang around. Mm-hmm. We want to be involved too. We want to come on the field trips and stuff. And then when we see 2 children in conflict, they're adults that intervene right away. We say, okay, this is not how we treat each other. How can we work this out? So I think children are coached better socialized skills in homeschooling environments than they are sending them to school and they don't have coaching there.
Right. I was actually just going to ask you about, there's also the question of, well, that's how kids learn to solve conflicts and have conflict resolution, is just, batting it out between the two of them without parents or adults intervening. But I agree with that there's still the maturity and the experience and that guide of the adult is very important in that learning process.
It is in the modeling and also in indirect teaching. You don't have to wait till your child comes home at the end of a long day to find out they had a fight with their best friend. In homeschooling, immediately, and you can help coach them immediately too. It's very immediate, and not to mention the time children spend with siblings, because they're not age graded, they don't sort people out according to, oh, you're grade 2, so I can't talk to you because it wouldn't be cool. So homeschool kids hang around with neighborhood kids that are all ages, all grades, and as well as their siblings. And I've especially noticed that as my older kids now are 19, 22, 24, and 25. They all talk to each other daily on Discord, even though they're in different cities and live outside the home. So, and I'm on Discord too, and I look over their conversations just for fun. And they're supportive of each other. They love each other. They have lifelong bonds which I think being separated in school can be a detriment to those lifelong bonds.
Right, definitely. Yeah, I noticed that as well with my kids as well, that they are extremely close. And it's beautiful to watch, and so many other homeschooling families as well, that the kids do have a strong friendship. It's not just a sibling bond, it's a very strong friendship, and disagreements seem to be less. And yeah, I don't know if it's the because they have each other there to support and work things out, there seems to be less confrontation or bickering or fights as well. There seems to be a bit of a more cohesive unit between siblings.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to scare people off and say we didn't have days where there was nonstop fighting.
Right, you know, right.
We had those days that I was pulling my hair out and thinking, okay, if I sent them to school,
what am I doing?
But we had a lot of opportunities to teach them problem solving and how not to punish each other. And I think it's like a bank. You put in the savings and then you reap the rewards later on down the road when they can sort things out themselves. And,
right. That's a great way to look at it, actually. It is like an investment that you don't get the returns immediately. You have to wait over the long term. You might see some fairly soon, but for most, it's a long-term process as well, the long-term build.
It is, absolutely.
And, you know, you had said as well, and I guess this kind of goes hand in hand partly with it, I'll let you decide though, but building the relationship and family bond is the most important part of homeschooling that you found. And you also just say, you know, there are those bad days. Not every single, sometimes maybe it might look a little bit idyllic, but there are days when, yeah, there's fights or, you know, there's disagreements or, you know, there's tears or, you know, you think, oh, you know, that, you know, you wonder, you question yourself or you have doubts or, you know, there's some unhappiness. How do you, you know, what are some things that you can do as a family to maybe, manage those days better, that also ties in with building those relationships and family bonds that you found reflected in your family?
Okay, well, yes, there are going to be days, whether you unschool or school use curriculum, that the house is a mess, the kids are fighting, you have nothing to show that looks anything educational, and that's the day your relatives phone up and say, why are you doing this? And I would say those days are a given. You're going to have them. So prepare ahead. At least have a support system on hand. When my kids were little, back in when we didn't have the internet, we did have we did have online groups on the FidoNet. So I would jump on and say, I'm having a bad day, and get support from other homeschoolers. Maybe those are the days you just want to pack the kids in the car, pack a picnic and go drive to the mountains, or just have some fun and bond, and you come back and you feel renewed because you've done something different out of the ordinary, and you think, wow, we had the opportunity to do that. And be good to yourself. I mean, I think homeschooling parents have to be good to themselves and do a little self-care. So it's good to model to the kids that, you know, maybe you want a night off to go to the movies, or you're a person too. You're not just mom or teacher. You need to be good to yourself and do something for yourself. And you can't do it all. If you want to hire out for a housekeeper, do it. I'm a big believer in chores. Chores are a part of our family, and I don't pay the kids to do chores. That's just part of learning how to live. So definitely, but, you know, lower your standards. Like, don't expect to have a homes and garden house. You're going to have mess for a few years, but then the kids grow up, and then you're going to have the perfect house. It's going to look great. You can walk without Lego under your feet.
Well, you're describing my house perfectly.
You will have a beautiful house, but and then you'll miss those days that it was fun, and you had the kids at home, and you could tuck them in bed at night, and you will miss those homeschooling days too. So be good to yourself.
Oh, that's a great recommendation, because I think that's also, and it comes into our children's education, is we have a very high standard for ourselves. And mm-hmm. as much as we may think that we don't, we think, oh, we'll just, we love our children for who they are. We don't have this exceptionally high standard for them. We kind of, when we have that high standard for ourselves, it reflects on them for sure. Mm-hmm. And they see that. And, it's a cause to, it helps, it makes it a lot more easy to become very stressed out if we really hold on to those extremely high standards. Taking that time to let go is definitely very important, and the self-care, having space and time to give yourself self-care so that you just enjoy everyone a whole lot mm-hmm. more when you're rested and happy and doing things that you also love. And it's a great example for your kids that, you have these other roles that you're really enjoying and doing too.
Yes. Yes. And, kids don't remember much before age 12, I found out. So, if you have the odd day where you've yelled too much, don't worry about it. They won't remember.
That's good to know. Okay.
Yes, for sure.
And you we're also a very big believers in chores in our house. We're in Northern Alberta, and we live on a farm. So, our kids have a lot of pets, so there's always work to be done with that. For your family, I'm asking this through my experience as well. Were the kids always joyful about doing their chores?
Oh, not at all. No. No. Up until about age 12, we had to do a lot of reminding and collaborating, problem solving. But we never let go. I mean, I see a lot of parents who give up and say, oh, it's just easier to do myself. But we always insisted, okay, this has to be done. How are we going to do it? So, and now they're very capable. When they live in residence at university, they know how to cook, they know how to clean. And I think that's important. That is part of education too.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. Helping them to be capable and independent is a huge value for them.
Yes, absolutely.
Are there some beliefs that you, I know obviously you said you started out very structured, and then as time went on and, you became a more of a relaxed homeschooler and more into unschooling. Looking back as well, because you have 5 children in total, right?
Right.
And your youngest is just finishing high school, or is close to finishing high school?
My second youngest just finished high school and hopefully might go to university in the fall. We'll see. And my youngest is just going to enter more formal education next year in grade 10.
Great. Okay. Okay. So what has been your major challenges looking back over the years? What do you think have been your major challenges with, home education, or, for your family, for yourself?
I think the major challenge was struggling with screen time. The first 3 kids, they had a lot of screen time in that we had those VHS movies right. that they wanted to watch over and over. And as the internet became more popular, they did get on computer gaming a lot more. The major challenge has been with my younger kids, who have had a lot more screen time, I think, than the older kids too. And struggling with that because when kids reach the age of about 11, 12, they stop playing with toys. They don't play with Lego and Playmobil, and they don't do art anymore. They are more playing creatively, but on screens. And we've struggled with, should we set limits? Should we just let them go? And it depended on the week. Sometimes when they were on there all day, I would say, okay, that's enough. Go outside and play. And other weeks, I was just too tired to battle. So feeling like every parent, the guilt, I would just let them go. So that's been definitely a challenge for us.
But, and did you have hard and fast rules for screen time? Did you just kind of work with it for each child, what worked for them? Or, what kind of, what happened in the end? Are you still working through it?
I gave up. I thing. I just gave up. I saw a lot of good stuff come out of screen time. I saw, like, the kids would play with their Kirby games or their Nintendo games, and then they would go make stuff. So they would translate screen time into art. And I saw them role play, and I saw them read stories about their Nintendo characters and things like that. So I did see a lot of good things come out, good educational things. So in the end, we decided to just not, we didn't restrict screen time. We just said, okay, you've got to put this in your day. You've got to have some exercise. You got to have some family dinner time where there's no screens. You got to turn it off an hour before bedtime. And that was our whole family rules, and that seemed to work better. And that's kind of how we live right now, by those rules. But I do acknowledge that my kids are on screens way more than... And then the funny thing was, I thought, okay, maybe I should send them to school and they'll be on screens at least 6 hours less a day. Right. And then I find out how much kids are on screens in school.
Oh, really? So, like on their own or like just through?
Either on their own or with a teacher. So my daughter, she went to a high school for 2 weeks and we were busing her an hour a day so she could go to high school and take all her courses online. And we thought, right. Why are we doing this?
Right.
She could do this at home.
Right.
So I gave up the guilt.
Right. Okay. You know, it's a good, and you, obviously it's a very common thread. I think my oldest is 10 turning 11 and it's, so I see that happening as well in our household. He's, you know, we've usually had fairly strict screen time guidelines. And, you know, we thought about, you know, should we loosen them or not or whatnot? And sometimes we do see that, you know, I think are we being too strict? And therefore when it does happen, it's, you know, you take too many liberties or it's on just too long when they have that freedom. It's, you know, the self-regulation, is it just not there yet? Or, but yeah, that's, you know, and also, you know, sometimes it's like, are we the only parent? Are we too strict? Or, you know, it's we're trying to really work through that balance right now as well, because we see that he wants to have more screen time. And as homeschoolers, they have more time at home to be flexible. And I guess there's no right or wrong answer on what works for each family, but it's definitely a common occurrence in talking to other parents as well that there's similarities in that too.
Yeah, and I do see, and a lot of homeschooling parents are very, very strict on their rules and amount of screen time, and that works for their family too, right? There's not, I think each family has to decide what that fit is. In our family, we didn't see the value of giving our kids cell phones because they didn't really go anywhere without me, so... they got their cell phones when they started university and had to live on their own. And I think that was valuable in that they didn't have a lot of peer pressure to get to constantly live on their phones.
Right.
And then when we kept all the family computers in one room just because, you know, it was nice for them to socialize over, they would play games all five of them would be in one game and they could talk to each other in game and they could be a team. So we've never had computers in their bedrooms. It's always been in one room. I don't have a living room anymore. It's the gaming room.
Right.
That's the trade-off. And then we could halfway see what they're doing. So, you know, if they wanted to go check out pornography, we could see that.
Right.
And
right.
Have a talk. So, so yes, we did have some boundaries and some rules around screen time that worked for our family, and every family is different.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Also, we're not alone in that as well. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, we're not the only ones facing that. So
right.
if there's looking back for you as well, if there was one thing that you would do differently, what would it be?
One thing I would do differently, one thing I really regret is that I wish I taught or expose my kids to more cursive writing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason is because we didn't we're unschoolers. We didn't do any formal writing programs or anything like that. So when they got to university, I was so surprised, but a lot of professors wouldn't allow laptops in the lecture hall.
Oh, I'm actually very surprised. Okay.
Yes, in our digital age right now, they had to handwrite exams that were timed. And because, you know, they would print little block letters, they couldn't go very
fast. Oh, right. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And some professors are very, very advanced and like to use Twitter and are fine with laptops. But there are still professors there that are, you know, age 50, 60, 70 that will not allow devices in the room. So that was something we were totally unprepared for because my kids were always online. They can type really fast on a screen, but they're very handicapped with handwriting.
Right, right. Okay.
So
that's great, great information. Okay.
Now, you know, by the time your kids reach university, I mean, if you're looking at university 10 years down the road, I think a lot will change by then, but that's something I regret.
Okay. Okay, that's very interesting. And I see as well, yeah, cursive writing just allows you to take notes or do whatever, you know, if you're handwriting anything that much faster than printing, and just practically it does have its benefits in that way.
Yes, yes. Even my daughter who took an English degree, I mean, she was handwriting essays with chicken scratch pretty well. I felt sorry for the professor having to read that. Yeah.
Okay, that's actually very good advice. Okay. Anything else that you'd do differently, or that's pretty well it? That's the only thing that really comes to mind.
I think I wish I would have relaxed sooner, but I mean, that's a learning curve every parent has to go through is I think we need to worry and see how much our kids do learn at home before we can relax. Mm-hmm. And someone telling you to relax isn't going to ease the worry. I think parents just have to see that themselves.
Right, right. And give themselves some space and leeway in that as well.
Yes, for sure.
So for parents that are, you know, ready to make a change in their children's education, you know, whether it's some type of alternative schooling or home education, would that be the advice that you would give them?
I would say the number one factor in school, homeschooling, any type of education is that caring adult and that relationship. I would say kids are going to learn everything they need. They have so much information at their fingertips, but the one critical factor is that caring adult. So if you're going through a day and you're doing book work and they're not getting it, don't stress. Your relationship matters way more than them getting it, because eventually they will get it. But just work on that relationship, because that is what's going to sustain them. That's the most important thing in education.
Yes, that's very key. Well, I think that really goes for whether they're in traditional school, public school, private school, or home education, that is the key for kids and their education, their life education, is that caring adult.
It is. I think that's the best part of school, is the teacher who cares. Not so much the peers or the curriculum. It's the teacher, that human factor. When kids get an awesome teacher in school, it's magic. When they homeschool with their parent, that's magic too. So you can't go wrong.
Right. Right. That's right. And so what do you think is the future of education? Have you seen it change quite a bit? Do you think it's still pretty well staying and steadfast the same? Or do you think there are big changes happening?
I think there is big changes in that the whole education system is scrambling in how to reinvent itself. Because if you look at it, children have everything they need to know at their cell phone.
Right.
And so the whole education system is looking at what are schools for? Like what function do they play in the next 50 years? Are they agents of socialization? Are they in lieu of parents? Are they still teaching the three R's? So it's in flux right now. A lot of the education system is moving to personalization and child-centered learning, but within a bricks and mortar school. school or within homeschooling. And I see a lot more parents looking at alternatives out there and choices. And I think that's good, because the more personal education is to a child, the more they're going to get out of it.
Mm, right. The more control they have over it, and they can make better choices for themselves.
Yes, and hopefully have more time to pursue their passions younger and see where they want to go on their path.
Right, right. And I know I first came into contact with you through some homeschooling Facebook groups. I know, and then I've looked, you know, through your books and your website, because you do have a wealth of information out there. And I know recently you got the Alberta Home Education Parent Society going. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why it started and what it does or advocates for?
Okay, yes. We were, for many years, we felt that we needed a representation, organization that would represent parental choice. And we believe that every choice should be funded. If home education isn't funded, the school authorities are not going to offer home education as much, because they need to sustain themselves too. So we created this entity to provide advocacy and a voice to parents. So we do surveys to parents, and we relay what parents want to the government. We also provide information to parents and support on you can do it. Everybody homeschools their child from birth to age 6. Just keep going. And we just want to be a voice for parents to the government on matters that parents are concerned about.
Okay. And how can, if you're a home educating parent or want to learn more about this, how can we find out about the Alberta Home Education Parent Society?
We have a website now. We just started last summer, but now we have a website, and you just go to www.ahepsca. So that's ahepsca, and you can find out all our information. We're super cheap to join, and we welcome everybody.
Okay, wonderful. You know, I think it's an interesting conversation, education, and definitely I agree that, you know, online, the internet, we have so much information at our fingertips that it's, you know, it's definitely changing how we've traditionally done education in schools and the role of schools as well. And, you know, what will be the purpose and what will they best provide for families and children in the upcoming future? So, you know, thing I think as well for parents to have a connection to the government as well for voice and, you know, what's working and what's happening. And, you know, I mean, this is my own personal opinion, but I do feel that home educating parents are actually help and would love to be more of a partnership with the government and helping, you know, helping education to be more forward thinking as well.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I mean, the research that's coming out on developing children's brains right now is so lends itself to the importance of having that one adult with a child and supporting and educating, whether it be a teacher or a parent. As we're going more and more digital as a society, that human factor is more and more important, and we need to advocate to the government that, you know, maybe education is more cost effective delivering over the internet in online courses, but kids need that human factor, and we need to advocate for that.
Right, definitely, most definitely. So are there other places that we can also learn more about you and many of the projects that you're working on? Because I know you also deliver webinars. You are a certified Canadian family life educator, professional speaker. You have 3 best-selling books as well, you know, Discipline Without Distress, Plugged in Parenting, The Last Word on Parenting Advice book. What else is happening for you right now? What's coming up in the future, and how can we contact you?
Okay, well, I have a website called professionalparenting.ca. So that lists all the upcoming webinars, courses I teach around breath. I have a Facebook group that anyone is welcome to join, and it's called Parenting Professional Development with Judy Arnell. So if you find that on Facebook, I will invite you in. And I also have a blog called unschoolingtouniversity.com, and hopefully the book of the same name will be out next spring. I'm still waiting for my third graduate, so I'm trying to hold that off until he graduates and then release that book. So so the blog is, I still post things from on the blog, but yeah, the book will be coming out.
That's great. Real life research.
Yes, for sure.
And we can find those books on Amazon?
Yes, my parenting books are non-punitive parenting. So I really advocate for just collaborative parenting. So no timeouts, no consequences, no spanking. And my book, Discipline Without Distress, it's a worldwide bestseller. You can find that on Amazon. And also my book on handling parent stress and patience called Parenting with Patience is also on Amazon and in chapters too. It's in all the bookstores too, if you want to look for them there too.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Judy.
Well, thanks for having me.
I just want to thank Judy for taking the time to speak with me. And if you enjoyed listening to this episode with Judy, please share it with your friends. As well, I also recommend you to take the time to check out Judy's website, professionalparenting.ca. She has videos, webinars, links, and her direct contact where you can reach her. So until next time on Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids. Thanks for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please share, leave a review, or comment. I'd love to hear your thoughts, ideas, and reflections on the episode. You can go to the website, imhomeschooling.com, or email me directly, robin@imhomeschooling.com.